J6, number 3A.
See, in that sixth chapter, Mrs. Eddy says there are paradigm shifts going on, where the Christ idea is taking us from the first degree of the physical to the second degree of the mental to the third degree of the spiritual. That's what that chapter's all about, those shifts that are occurring. Well, Thomas Kuhn, the world doesn't take Mrs. Eddy as an authority. It has to break in somewhere to the world that these shifts are happening. Well, Thomas Kuhn says there are shifts occurring in the world, just as Mrs. Eddy said. And that these are, but he called them, instead of degrees, as I said, paradigm shifts. So he said that the world is making shifts. And he says that these shifts occur. And the shifts occur from an old paradigm of a material, science, into a new paradigm of an extraordinary science. So he says that science goes through scientific revolutions, that even the sciences are going through a revolution, that science is going from a material explanation of science we see in the world to a more mental explanation of science, and to finally they're even asking about a spiritual science, some of the big thinkers today. So Kuhn is the one that these thinkers of today who are talking about these paradigm shifts in science and philosophy, Kuhn is the man they're always quoting, because he wrote this book called The Structure of Scientific Revolutions, how revolutions occur in science and philosophy from one paradigm to another. And so when the thinkers of today are saying these shifts are occurring, and let me show you how they are occurring, they quote Kuhn, because Kuhn says that when you go from an old paradigm, let's say just from a material paradigm of a material science, let's say to him into the new paradigm of a mental science, which isn't yet the spiritual. But he says, let's say if a shift occurs from the material to the mental, which is happening today, then that old material science, he called a normal science, it was the model of thinking, the old paradigm. Materiality was the model of the old science. And that was called a normal science, which rested on the established paradigm of materiality. But he says, in order for a shift to occur, from a material science, for example, into a mental science, an anomaly occurs, some kind of an irregularity. He calls it an anomaly. And that these anomalies that occur in the normal science, in the old paradigm, cause the shift. Because let's say that for many years mankind has gone out from a material matter paradigm. The belief that matter is real, that evil is real. Now that would go on and on and on and on. But he says it doesn't go on because some type of an anomaly, and an anomaly just means an irregularity, some kind of an irregularity that violates, that goes against the old paradigm, comes up. You can't help it. In some old science, some irregularity comes up. Now, in that old science, most of the scientists, he say, want to stay in the old paradigm. They want to stay in the matter paradigm. Most of them want to stay in the material science viewpoint. Only a few will look at the irregularity. And that irregularity, upon that irregularity, you build the whole new science. The whole new science will build on that which is different. The old scientists will take that irregularity and shove it under the rug. They won't look at it. They ignore it. But most of the scientists won't look at it. But an extraordinary scientist like an Einstein will look at the irregularity and build the whole new science on the irregularity. So you see that happen so true, that paradigm shifts have been made. Today we're going to talk about how there's a paradigm shift from the material to the mental based on the irregularity that the mental begins to govern the material, that mind begins to control body. That isn't allowed within the material paradigm. within the material paradigm, the body is separate from the mind, and it can't control, the mind cannot control the body. But today, where they see that beliefs control the body, that the body is just really belief subjectified, that's an irregularity upon which a new paradigm is built. Now, there's been that paradigm shift's going on today from the material to the mental, as we'll see. But if you take the old, like an Einstein, I just want to bring out the point how it takes an extraordinary scientist to want to study the irregularity. Most don't. Like Einstein, as an extraordinary scientist, we had the old paradigm of Newton, basing everything on his Newtonian physics of a machine universe, a mechanistic view of the universe, that the whole is equal to the sum of its parts, and that it's a machine world that runs down, based only on the laws of cause and effect. Now, Einstein didn't start out to reject the Newtonian physics. He started out to love it and embrace it. He went over and over Newton's theories until he found an irregularity in his theory, something that wasn't quite right, that didn't make sense, that Newton wasn't looking at in those theories. And Einstein was willing to look at the irregularity in Newton's theories. It had to do with time, though we needn't get into the specifics of it, and I wouldn't know implications of it, of course, not being in physics or knowing physics that well, but just generally knowing that Einstein pondered and saw that there was a regularity concerning time, and he was willing not to ignore it, because it's easier to ignore it and stay with the old paradigm. It's comfortable. But he said, there's something wrong. This isn't working well within the old paradigm. And so he went after that concept of time and built a whole new paradigm on his fourth-dimensional space-time continuum, which brought him into the Einsteinian physics, which is a totally different world than Newton, machine world of cause and effect, that the whole is equal to the sum of its part. Einstein's new science is a dimensional universe, a fourth dimension of space and time continuum, all built because of what he saw concerning time. And therefore, he went into a dimensional universe where the whole is greater than the sum of its parts. But you see, the point here is not to teach the physics, but that he was willing to look at the irregularity. He was an extraordinary scientist. And the same thing is true of John Dorley. He was willing to look at Mrs. Eddy's Christian Science and say, look it, in the old paradigm it's taught as a religion. Here a fact and there a fact. Here a truth and there a truth. He says the irregularity is we're calling it a science. There is nothing scientific about the way I have been teaching Christian Science. It's all been as a religion. And so he was willing to be an extraordinary scientist. He says, let's look at this point of science. What makes a science a science? Let me get together my association and let us, my students, spend our time going through the textbook and seeing how Mrs. Eddy defines science. And then how does she define mind? How does she define spirit? How does she define soul, principle, life, truth, and love? He said, let's find if there's a difference between mind and spirit and soul, principle, life, truth, and love, how she defines God. Let's try to find differentiation. That's a science. So through scientific investigation, he in scientific criteria, he tried to find differences between the synonyms, where they are the same or if they differ according to how she defines the terms. Well, he started up a little study group to study the synonyms from the textbook, not as he gave it, but as the textbook defined it. An extraordinary scientist. Well, the church booted him out because they said that is not the way we teach Christian Science. You're leaving the realm of how it's always been taught, and therefore their only excuse to him was it's your personal teachings. They had no idea that he was using exact scientific criteria and studying the synonyms, as we'll see as the week goes on. But they booted him out saying it's your personal teachings and anyhow you're only supposed to meet with your students once a year at your association and it's against the law to meet with them on a regular basis. just totally stupid. I mean, in this day and age, you can't meet with people. So anyhow, as scientists, so it was on the basis of his science irregularity, wanting to know it as a science, he was kicked out and built a whole new paradigm on the pure science of Christian Science and left the church and the religion. And it wants to be a religion. It still says it's a religion. So it leaves us alone pretty well because they know we teach it as a science. They think we're all off, and they think that they do is okay. So, but you see, that's what an extraordinary scientist does. So Mrs. Eddy was an extraordinary scientist. She went the same way. She was, of course, brought into the world of matter as being real, of the two-valued logic of Aristotle, that matter is real and spirit is real, that there's good and evil, so that the physical realm is real and that the mental realm is real and that the mental can't affect the physical. They're in two separate realms. Well, she, you know, went along with a lot of it, except right on you can see she was an extraordinary scientist, because when she went to join her church and they wanted to say that man was evil and to a sinner for eternal damnation, she said, no way am I going to join this, I think it was a congregational church. I've been to it, I'm sure you have, a few of you have also, in, I think it was New Hampshire there, where you can see they have a little plaque that this is Mrs. Eddy's church. But she said, I won't join it if you make me believe in the doctrine of eternal damnation. I can't believe that God is such that man is a sinner forever. She felt that there was redemption through the Christ idea. So they said, okay. So she wouldn't believe that evil was a total reality. You could just see it already. So, but she was raised into that paradigm that matter is real and spirit is real and good is real and evil is real. But through her research, as she shows in the sixth chapter, she shows them, she began to see through her research in homeopathy that the drug became more and more attenuated and became more and more attenuated, and therefore as the drug began to disappear through a placebo, and that the placebos began to work and heal, a placebo being a drugless drug. And when she saw that a drugless drug healed, then she saw the drug was just mental. That it was the belief behind the drug that heals. It wasn't the substance in the drug that heals, which we'll see in the medicine part of theology, science, theology, and medicine this year. So that brought her into the mental realm and said, look, matter is nothing. It's the belief in matter. So it's the belief that matter is just beliefs objectified. So she saw that the mental realm and the physical realm are hooked together, and that the physical realm is just the mental beliefs objectified. Because the mental believes that matter is real, that objectifies itself as the mental, as the physical realm. But the physical realm itself doesn't exist per se. The physical realm is an illusion, is a delusion. It's an objectification. That where the substance lies is in the mental realm. That those beliefs objectify themselves. And so that she began to see. And then she not only saw that, but her big paradigm shift was then, she said, that set myself, thought, that was the irregularity she saw, that mind controlled the body. And so she was willing to be an extraordinary science and to go after the irregularity that mind controls the body. And then she says in the sixth chapter, right there in the beginning of the mind tone, it set my thought to work in new channels. I'll build around that irregularity. And then she said, I found that mind, God, is the all. Not, I saw the irregularity was that the human mind caused the physical realm. But my science was, that was the irregularity. But it gave me a new science that it was that my real mind science is based on the divine mind. I give you an extraordinary science. And that what I bring out of that anomaly is that really, that mind is all, capital mind is all, and matter is not, as the basis of my science. So I brought a spiritual science forth from the irregularity I saw in the mental realm, you see, that mind controlled the body. So she was an extraordinary science. She was willing to go for that paradigm shift. Now, just before we leave for lunch, and this is what we're going to take up this afternoon, this whole question of these 3 degrees, to see them a little clearer as they're happening in the world, because this subject is fundamental to Christian Science. If we don't see the Christ in his translation and retranslation through these three degrees, we never understand Christian Science or what is happening in the world today. Because now there are many, many extraordinary scientists out there. I would be ashamed to name, call names, because there's so many of them. One that I met personally was Willis Harmon from the Institute of Noetic Science in Stanford. In Sausalito in San Francisco. He had been working for many years on the Stanford board and also with the Stanford Research Institute, the SRI. And there they work in the mental realm a lot. And he then became president of the Institute of Noetic Science, which noetic means mind science, which was started by Edgar Mitchell, that astronaut that had extraordinary experiences when he left Earth and then came back, just changed and started this Institute of Noetic Science, Institute of Mind Science. And Willis Harmon is now president of it, a tremendous person with great insight into reality. And I'll talk maybe more about him. He's written some tremendous books because he begins to see now this paradigm shift going on in the sciences. From that, because of the philosophical change from a material paradigm to a mental paradigm, and he foresees the spiritual paradigm. So he is willing, he's just one of those extraordinary scientists that are willing to see that the mental controls the physical, and that the physical is just the objectification of the mental. And then he's also willing to see that there may be something beyond the mental realm. But he's one. There are many of them. So I won't name any more names because it would do injustice to the many who are out there in all the different, who are willing to be these extraordinary scientists. It's not everyone, but it's a few, but they are there. Seeing that the world is making these this tremendous paradigm shift. And it's those extraordinary scientists, those books that we read today of those big thinkers. Well, let me go against what I said. People like Fritjof Capra, working, I believe, is out of the University of Berkeley, K-A-P-R-A, who has written a book like that called The Tao of Physics. Or the turning point, seeing how these paradigm shifts are occurring in the sciences, how he's a scientist himself. Davies, writing a book called The Cosmic Principle in England, seeing how paradigm shifts are going on within the sciences. Ilya Prigozhin, getting a prize for his theories of evolution through fluctuations, seeing how these fluctuations or changes are occurring in paradigms in the sciences. Could go on and on with these new thinkers and their books. And we look at them and we don't teach those books in the class, so I can say they're extraordinarily interesting, and I have to keep from wanting to study them or bring them to class to teach them because they are so good. You just read them and say, we couldn't write them any better as far as showing how the paradigm shifts are occurring. But it's the surface structure, and we're interested in the deep structure, the deep language of spirit, and therefore Mrs. Eddy is the only one who gives that deep structure language of the spiritual realm, and we must stick to it. But if we get engaged in some of these books, they're wonderful, of these extraordinary scientists. They are seeing it, and they explain it very well, that these shifts are occurring. They just can't explain the spiritual realm. They have no idea what it is. They only just say it's there. It's what's the other good one, that fellow we read a lot? Sheldrick, Rupert Sheldrick, who has his book out now on morphogenetic fields and whatever. The past is present. They all see that these shifts are occurring, but when they know that there's another realm beyond the mental and physical, they just can say it's there. So we've got to spend our time defining the spiritual, getting to know that deep structure language, sticking with that language, because when they're ready and they know it's there, we'll be there with the language, the system defined in its spiritual science. So our time isn't now to go out and meet the multitudes. That's why we're not interested in the big classes. I love this is just the perfect size for an introductory class, because we just have to, Mrs. Eddy said, the platoons have to be thoroughly drilled in this new science. And that's what we do, of course, within ourselves, is just keep working with it and working with it till it's natural. And when it's natural, then when the breakthrough comes within a short time, it's happening so fast. I would say within this next decade, it's going to probably... one doesn't like to put a time period, but if you're looking at the 90s are going to certainly bring forth the demand for the explanation of the spiritual paradigm. Let's say by the year 2000, which is only 10 years away as we work towards the 7,000-year period, the man will be there. We're just, all these years, it's just been in a pioneering stage, but it has to come out. So, all right. So this afternoon, we will pick up the subject on defining a little more for us this paradigm shift occurring from the material to the mental to the spiritual, and especially to see the big break between the mental and the spiritual, because the new age right now stays at the mental and it calls itself spiritual, and it isn't. And that's what we just want to be clear about. Okay. So we go on now with this great spiritual adventure. I always love this subject of the 3 degrees. I can't go over it enough. It's because it's so simple. I think I appreciated what they said there. Mrs. Eddy said that we follow the simple teachings of Christ. The human mind wants to be very complicated. The more complicated it gets, the better it likes it. It likes all these theses and antitheses and syntheses and complicated structures that it can't understand, so it can spend eternity trying to figure everything out. Remember, the human mind is on the path. It doesn't want to arrive. It gets very mad at you if it feels that there are ultimate solutions to reality. It's an adventure to always wonder and to know. So, therefore, I like where Mrs. Eddy pointed out that they were the simple teachings. And I can recall on some of Kapler's tapes, when he's getting ready to present a subject, he apologizes and says, "Well, I'm very sorry." He says, "This is going to be very simple." He says, "I don't know what to do about it. I wish I could make it more complex to make you happy, but it's just simple. If you want your money back, then you may have it." But that's what the laws of being are. They are very, very simple as we ultimately begin to grasp the spiritual system. So this is a simple outline of these 3 degrees, but this is what's going on, that the Christ idea, I don't have a transparency with me right at the moment, of page 115 and 116 in the textbook, but you have that there where she shows the first translation of immortal mind from God to man to idea. Well, that first translation of what God is, where the word we saw in divine philosophy states what God is, and the Christ has the office of bringing what God is to every single situation and overturning everything that isn't like God. So this, the 3 degrees are really a, or the 3 paradigms are really a subject of the Christ, retranslation. Again, the subject of the 6th chapter in the textbook, which falls in the structure of the Christ as the Christ. So what we see then, that this is an effect, what I have in front of you. It isn't any cause. This is the effect of a first translation, because on page 115 in the textbook, Mrs. Eddy gives what we call the first translation. She doesn't call it that. We do. We call it the first translation because she gives it first, and says that it's a scientific translation of immortal man, where God, the word, is translated right down to man, to each idea. And when that happens, it has an effect called the second translation, which we have here in front of us. This is the effect of God coming to us. And when God comes to us, that's the Immanuel sense of the 6th chapter. That God comes to us. See, the word is always the sense that man seeks God. Man seeks what God is. Man seeks the statement of God. The Christ chapters is always that God comes to man. Do you hear the difference? So in the word, man seeks God. And once man has sought God, then God comes to man. That's more or less the seeking and finding aspect. So in the Christ, then it's the Immanuel. God comes to us. We don't have to make this transition from the first degree to the second degree to the third degree happens. See, that's the condemnation of Adam to till the ground, where we think, oh, we're bad girls and boys in a physical mentality. She gives there all those qualities for the physical: depraved will, self-justification, evil thoughts, negative thinking, whatever we think of physical evil beliefs. That's all the first degree. We can't say, well, through our own moral effort, we can bring ourselves out of the physical state of consciousness into a more mental state, a more morally mental state, and then finally into the spiritual. That is not the teachings of Christian Science. We live by grace. God does that to us. That's what Paul was trying to show. We live by grace. It happens to us in our lives. That's that self-operating cybernetic system, as we will see. So this principle brings God to man, that the Word of God, what God is, comes to us through the Christ. And what happens as an effect is we are taken out of the first degree of the physical into the mental, and finally into the spiritual. So not only does that happen to our individual lives, that this happens to us, but it happens in the world too. The world is being taken from a physical explanation to a mental explanation to a spiritual explanation. Very, very clearly today, we hear the switch from the material to the mental. That's being very, very strongly being brought out today. It's, as I mentioned before lunch, the only difficulty is that they call the mental spiritual. They call that the ultimate, and they don't know the spiritual realm yet. So they're stopping at the mental as ultimate, and they're confusing it. So let's take a deeper look now into each of these three degrees, just to make sure we understand what the material paradigm is all about, what the mental paradigm is all about, and what the spiritual paradigm is about.